Live from Las Vegas, Nevada, at the KSHP studios, this is the Michelle Mortensen Show with your host, Michelle Mortensen, the fresh and fearless voice of talk radio, taking on the liberal media, the political hacks, and so much more. It's time to nix the narrative and get to the truth the way only Michelle can. Now, here's your host, the fresh, fiery, and factual voice of politics and news, eight-time Emmy winner, Michelle Mortensen.
Hello and happy Friday, everyone. Yes, you heard in that introduction that I am an eight-time Emmy winner. I'm kind of proud about it. Some of you get all mad when I brag about it, being like, ew, humble brag. But you know who else is an Emmy winner? Well, Governor Andrew Cuomo. Oh my God, he's won an Emmy too. And I think after today's show, you are going to be scratching your head as to why this man was ever awarded an Emmy. You may be scratching your head as to why this man is important at all. You may be scratching your head as to why no one has tried to recall this man after the comments he has made today. Oh, yes, yes. I always had a plan to open today's show to talk about Governor Cuomo and his cover-up. Because as you've all probably heard by now, I mean, unless you watch mainstream media, because ABC is not reporting it, and NBC is not reporting it, and CBS isn't reporting it. But if you listen to anything like Fox News or my newscasts every day, what you need to know right now, you know that there's a huge cover-up going on with Cuomo right now, that he has covered up for months, almost a year now, how many people died on his watch in nursing homes because he chose to put people who had COVID in nursing homes during the height of the pandemic. He refused to use the hospital ships that were brought specifically to New York, right there in the harbor, to take care of people. And he put people in nursing homes. And see, at first, he claimed that only 8,900 something people died. Well, the New York Attorney General does an investigation and finds they underreported 50% of the nursing home deaths. It's a huge cover-up. It's astonishing. It should make you very, very mad. Not that he chose to do that and it turned out to be wrong, but the fact that he was trying to cover up, the fact that he was trying to lie about it. That's what I was going to start with. But then this morning, Cuomo left me speechless. Just speechless. And we're going to go over what he said one by one, and it's going to have you on the floor. So let me paint the picture for you. At all of Cuomo's press conferences, you don't see ABC or CNN or MSNBC or Fox News. No, it's generally all done via Zoom. And generally, it's only New York State reporters who ever get to ask a question. And one reporter said, well, what do you say to all the people who lost loved ones in these nursing homes? Let's roll the first clip to see how he responded.
Everyone did the best they could. When I say the State Department of Health, as the report said, the State Department of Health followed federal guidance. So if you think there was a mistake, then go talk to the federal government. It's not about pointing fingers or blame. It's that this became a political football, right?
Okay, let me just go over what he said there. He said, hey, we did the best that we could. We follow federal guidelines. If you've got a problem with what happened, go talk to the federal government. Then seconds later, he says exactly, if you need to blame someone, blame them. This became a political football and it's not about pointing fingers. But didn't he just point the finger at the federal government and say, don't blame me, blame the federal government? Well, hold on. Let me just get you some real facts here right now. First, yes, you do need to blame Cuomo. While he may have been trying to do the best that he could, while he may not have known that you shouldn't do that, even though he may have been following federal guidelines, there are other governors like Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida who never allowed that to happen. who has for the entire time said, I'm going to focus on senior citizens and those with comorbidity. That's what Governor DeSantis did. And you know what? They've not had as big of a problem. But here's where the icing on the cake gets really good. Not only in that first clip, did he say, well, if you want to blame someone, blame the federal government. But don't blame me. It's not about pointing fingers, which he just did. He also, earlier this week, said the following about the federal government.
Incompetent government kills people. Incompetent government kills people. More people died than needed to die in COVID. That's the truth.
Oh, the arrogance. Incompetent government kills people. More people died than needed to die. That's what he said this week before the fire was all on him, before his feet were being held to the fire, before a Democrat attorney general from his own state exposed the huge cover-up that he was pulling the entire time. Now, see, there we saw arrogant Cuomo. It's the federal government's fault. That Trump, he was incompetent. People died, and it's horrible. Fast forward to today. Roll the tape.
People died. By the way, the same people are dying today. 96% of the people who die are older people with comorbidities, which happens to be the population that lives in nursing homes.
Oh my, he's quiet and somber and says, people die. And those people who die are people in nursing homes with comorbidities. He just earlier this week said incompetent government kills lives and that people died who didn't have to. And then today, after it's been exposed that he actually played a huge role in causing not 8,900 deaths, but more than 16,000 deaths. It's, but people die and old people in nursing homes have comorbidities and people die. Think for a minute if a Republican said that. Think for a minute every Republican. Every conservative, every person who has said these lockdowns are stupid, who has said people die every day, think about the attacks that they have been under. Think about the way the media has attacked everyone who said, you know what, people do die, and it is tragic and it is sad, but we cannot be responsible for it. We cannot stop people from dying. Think about that for a minute. Oh, but Cuomo could say it in a press conference, and he can get all somber and pull on his quiet voice, and that makes it okay. Well, it makes it okay because Cuomo tells the truth. In fact, in his Emmy acceptance speech back in November, that's what he touted, that he tells the truth. Listen.
I put my head on the pillow at night saying I saved lives. That's how I sleep at night. And I know we have.
Isn't the Emmy? So that was him saying that he saves lives and that that's how he sleeps at night because he saved lives. And then he made a comment at the Emmys about how he tells the truth. Let's play that.
I wish I could say that my daily COVID presentations were well choreographed, scripted, rehearsed, or reflected any of the talents that you advance. They didn't. They offered only one thing, authentic truth and stability.
Okay, so he offers truth. He offers stability. He's the best. And it's all the federal government's fault. Now, remember, in the same press conference today, he said, we shouldn't blame anyone. We shouldn't point fingers. And now he says, well, guess what? The federal government, they did the best they could. Listen.
I believe everybody did the best they could. I believe the federal government, CDC, I believe they gave the best guidance they could.
They did the best they could. Oh, wait a minute. Didn't he just say a little while ago this week that it was incompetent government? Didn't he say, oh, don't blame me. If you're going to blame somebody, blame the federal government. And then literally, when the 5-minute span that he answered this question, in that 5-minute span, he then said, everybody did the best they could. The federal government's not to blame. If you've been with me the whole time here, you know he's blamed the federal government. He's blamed everybody. He's ridiculous. He is ridiculous. He is an embarrassment. But guess what? it gets worse. Because then he talks about the curse of COVID and how we can't protect old people.
That is the curse of COVID. Can you protect old people with comorbidities from COVID? Totally? No. No. If we could, it would be over. If it wasn't over last year, it would have been over by now, right? It's still not over.
Can we protect old people with comorbidities? No. No, Cuomo says. No. I mean, if it could, this would all be over. Explain to me for a minute then why you locked your damn state down. Explain to me then. Explain to me why we couldn't have outdoor dining. Because old people with comorbidities, who are really the only ones who die from this, evidently, according to you, were not going and eating at restaurants in New York City. Now, who are they? Why do we have any lockdowns? If the attitude is, well, they're old people and they're in nursing homes and they have comorbidities and there's really nothing that we can do about that. Well, then why do we lock down? Why do we do anything? Why wasn't our focus exactly like Ron DeSantis's focus the whole time in Florida, that it's all about protecting the old? Why, I ask you? Nothing he's saying is making any sense. But get this, if you didn't think that was bad, he is going to dig himself in a hole that is so much deeper that your jaw will hit the dang floor. Because he ended his comments with this.
But they're in my thoughts and prayers. I believe, why COVID? Why did God do this? I don't know. I don't know. But it was cruel and it was terrible. And it still is. Luckily, I'm blessed with faith, and that helped me at times of pain, but my heart goes out to each and every one, and I feel it personally, and everybody should know it's not because, and when I do the death numbers on Monday, it's not because everyone didn't do everything they could to prevent it.
I'm about to lose my mind here. He began his statement with, but my thoughts and prayers with all of them. I thought Democrats got all their panties in a bunch and had to clutch their pearls every time somebody said, thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers don't do anything. Thoughts and prayers don't change anything. Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. Oh, yeah, but he gave you his thoughts and prayers. And aren't we supposed to say that, Cuomo? He's so kind and generous. Then he went a step further and he blamed God.
I don't know why God created COVID, but it was cruel and it was mean.
Oh, thank you, theologian Cuomo. Thank you, Reverend Cuomo, for explaining how God works, that it's God who creates illness, that it's God who condemns the world, that it's God who cursed us. Thank you, Governor Cuomo, for telling us all who we need to blame for this one. No, not you and your incompetent leadership. No, not all of the scientists who couldn't make up their mind as to what we should or should not do. Not that it was a pandemic and no one could get control of this. No, we should blame freaking God. Makes perfect sense. And then you're going to have the audacity to end that statement with,
well, I have my faith. And that's really helped me get through this.
What kind of faith do you have, man? What kind of faith do you have that you blame God for this, but that also gives you peace and comfort? Are you freaking crazy? And do you take all of us for fools? Are we all idiots? Well, let me tell you, maybe the majority of Americans and New Yorkers are, because they're not even hearing this message. They're not hearing the press conference that Cuomo did today, because the mainstream media is not covering it. But I want to remind you that this is a man who we gave an Emmy. This is a man who wrote a freaking book about how great his leadership was during COVID. This is a man who has touted his accomplishments the entire freaking time. This is a man who has tried to blame Trump for everything. This is a man who is now very quiet and very somber and very thoughts and prayers-ish because he got caught. And it's time for New Yorkers and Americans and others to wake up. Because too many of you, far too many of you, believe that politicians are good people who don't freaking lie to you. Too many of you are quick to say, well, Cuomo's telling me the truth and Trump's a liar. Too many of you sit there and act like these politicians are on your side. They're not. They're politicians. They're corrupt. They're focused on themselves. They're focused on getting reelected. And it doesn't matter if you have an R behind your name or a D behind your name. Although if you do have a D behind your name, you can do pretty much freaking anything and get away with it. You can sleep with Chinese spies. You can kill people in nursing homes. You can lie, cheat, and steal. And everyone goes, I think it's okay. But if you're a Republican and you utter thoughts and prayers, if you are a Republican and you want to investigate something, God, you tried to murder AOC. Yeah. Yeah. That's where we're at right now. That's where we're at right now. Oh. And let me just add to this. We also have President Biden who lied to you too. Oh, I know there's some of you right now who are watching and go, President Biden does not lie. He is a man who keeps his promises. October 2020, October 15th, to be exact. At a town hall, because we couldn't have a debate because of Trump's COVID, he told George Stephanopoulos the following about politicians who use executive orders.
I got to get the votes. That's why, you know, the one thing that I have this strange notion, we are a democracy. Some of my Republican friends and some of my Democratic friends even occasionally say, well, if you can't get the votes by executive order, you're going to do something. Things you can't do by executive order unless you're a dictator. We're a democracy. We need consensus.
I guess we should start calling him Dictator Biden then, because in his first week, in his first week and a half, forgive me, he has issued more executive orders and executive actions than Trump, than Obama, than Bush, than Clinton. He has spent the entire week highlighting executive orders that are killing thousands of jobs, that are giving federal tax dollars to foreign countries so that they can have abortions on women who are not American. He has spent the entire week issuing edict after just about 4 months ago, he told you he'd never do that. Every single person who believed that Biden was a moderate, that Biden wasn't going to be that bad, that he was going to go across the aisle, that he was going to make people join hands and sing kumbaya, that he was going to be the master of unity, was played. Do you want to know how we knew, well, people like me knew that we were going to get played? Because he's a politician. He's a career politician who definitely had to say the right thing on October 15th, 2020, that executive orders are a dictatorship. But as soon as he becomes president, he has to do all these executive orders because he's been so threatened by President Trump, who was definitely a promises made, promises kept. So he's got to keep all his promises to the progressive left. I mean, even his ridiculous White House press secretary, who I have no respect for whatsoever, Jen Psaki, when she was called on the carpet about, well, I mean, is he a benevolent dictator? This is how she responded.
It suggests that President Biden sees himself as perhaps a benevolent dictator.
Well, Rob, I'm sure this wasn't your intention, but I think you took the president's comments a bit out of context. He was asked about tax reform and whether that could be done via executive order during the interview with George Stephanopoulos, which you're referring to.
That's certainly a question, but I think the answer
I think the question is pretty important context for everybody, and he said no. And the president also said during an interview with columnists back in December that he didn't think executive action should be used for everything, and that certainly is his point of view.
Oh, so that's his point of view. But even though he's going back on every single word, how dare you ask that question?
How dare you ask a question, media? How dare you challenge me and the narrative that I'm putting out there?
How dare you, people, think for yourselves? How dare you not be spoon-fed everything that I'm telling you? How dare you think for yourself? This is what these elites are telling you, people. I am not a populist in any way, shape, or form. I am just a woman with 8 Emmys, with 2 degrees, who's run for public office herself, who spent the majority of her life on TV following these Looney Tunes, who is telling you the truth, something no one in media and no politician wants to tell you. They're all full of crap. They will lie to you. They will tell you what needs to be done in order for them to have more power, to have more money, to have more influence. I've watched it my entire adult life. And the fact that most of you don't get it kills me. Because what's happened over the past year and a half should grieve your soul. We've lost our freedom. We've lost our common sense. We've lost the media. We've lost transparency. We've lost truth. Our kids aren't in school. Teachers' unions are determining what's safe, not science. We've lost our damn minds. And no one's doing a thing about it. And don't even get me started on GameStop. Actually, we're going to get in on GameStop and Robinhood and the disaster that we have seen this week unfold with the elites and the common man right after this commercial break. We're even going to talk about that girl who kind of agrees with Ted Cruz, and then it goes horribly awry. Who is that girl? Come back in about a minute. You'll find out.
Before 1-800-Flowers came around, these phones used to ring constantly. But now, no one needs Cupid because they can just go to 1-800-Flowers.com and choose a bouquet that is guaranteed to wow. I used to be a bona fide 10. Be a 10. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com and order today.
Ryan Reynolds, I've recently learned that Big Wireless spends a lot on political lobbying. Like, a lot. I had no idea that wireless owners were supposed to do that. So, Mint Mobile is officially contributing to the mayor of Idlewild, California.
A good boy named Max. Yes, he is.
We won't be contributing nearly as much because, frankly, we prefer to invest our money in stuff for you, which is why I'm announcing free data upgrades on every plan beginning January 28th.
Who's in the pocket of big business? Who's in the pocket of big business?
Mint Mobile. Now, with more bite.
You were listening to the Doobie Brothers there. That stash, that hair. Oh my God, was that the 70s? Because that was obviously a very, very, very crazy time. Do you think maybe maybe that's what the name implies? I don't know. You know who'd look good with a stash like that though? Elon Musk, who is just breaking the stock market and Etsy right now. What am I talking about? So Elon Musk recently tweeted, "I kind of love Etsy." And that made Etsy stock explode. It was crazy. And if you're wondering, hey, what did Elon Musk get? He bought a hand-knit wool Marvin the Martian helm for his dog. Classic, classic, classic Elon Musk. I tell you, I don't know if that man's a national treasure or whatever the opposite of a national treasure is. I don't know at all. But I can tell you this. Elon Musk's tweets have been on fire about this whole Robinhood, GameStop, AMC scandal, and we're going to get into it right now. Let me tell you, Robinhood makes me want to vomit. Why? I think it's important to explain why. Can we just look at a recent Robinhood commercial that debuted in 2021? Take a look.
Remember when greed was good? When you had to look the part? When you had to pay for a seat at the table? we set out to change it. The way the system works. To put the power in everyone's hands. To make it feel, speak, sound, and look just like you. We all invest every day in ourselves, our communities, our future. We are all investors.
Remember when greed was good? Remember when you had to have a suit and tie to be at the seat of the table? Well, we created a way for you to get there all on your own. Damn the man! Oh, unless you go on Reddit and Facebook and talk with your friends and try to buy a stock like GameStop and you turn everything upside down, well, then we're going to silence you and stop you. How dare you? How dare you? How dare you break the rules? Let me remind you of one of their initial tweets. It's a good one. Let the people trade. A few years later, in light of the current market volatility, we are restricting transactions for certain security positions, closing only, including AMC and GME. Read more here. Oh, okay. That makes it perfectly all right. And what's disgusting right now is that we are seeing before our very eyes that a bunch of hedge fund guys who think that they're elitists, who can literally short sell stocks. And what does that mean? They can sell stock that they don't really have to make it tank even more so they can make a ton more money. So they can do that. But when the average Joe day trader, who's probably a millennial and under the age of 40, goes on Robinhood to make a stock worth more money, it's disgusting and sad and how dare you. And then you're going to have some self-righteous person say, well, it's just really not responsible. I mean, these people don't know what they're doing. And they use the money for their rent to buy this stock. And it's going to end up bad on them. So playing the stock market has always been a lot like gambling. It is literally the same as putting all your money on black, putting all your money on red, putting all your money on green. You might hit, you might not. You might lose a lot. You might gain a lot. It's called a gamble. But do you know what's happening now? Well, see, all of this chatter about buying GameStop, it all happened on Reddit and Facebook. And you know what Reddit and Facebook have done now, right? They've shut down all those groups. They censored them. Really? Now, that's made a lot of angry millennials who are progressive and vote with the liberal left just stark raving mad. How dare they censor me? That's not right. I have a right to play the stock market. You're right, you do. Discord banned all the groups. Who's on Discord? A bunch of 20-year-old gamers. And they're just fit to be tied. That they're being censored. Welcome to the club, yokels. Because do you remember earlier in this freaking month when we were all up in arms about Facebook and Twitter censoring people and YouTube censoring people and how that wasn't right and that wasn't good and it was censorship? And all you elite liberal, you know, millennials were like, it's not about the First Amendment. You don't understand what you're talking about. Every single one of you, now you know what we were talking about. All of you who for the past year now have been saying, y'all are making masks super political. You're so partisan. You don't understand. It's about public safety. You got to do what the government and the scientists tell you to do. Really? Really? So all of you just got a huge lesson that when you rule in fear, you lose freedom. And when you lose one freedom, you're very quick to lose another. Ooh, this is a good little lesson here. See, it started with a mask. And then it turned into anarchy's totally okay if it's in the name of Black Lives Matter. And then it was, yes, we should censor you because you're all white supremacists. Yes. You believe in election fraud. Let's censor you. I don't want your voice to be heard. Oh, And now a bunch of millennial day traders found a way to make some cash, and the big guys don't like it, so they all censored you, and now you're outraged. We told you this the entire time. Now you're shocked? What? There was a riot at the Capitol on January 6th? I mean, how could that happen? What? The National Guard wasn't there? Why not? Well, you told everybody for months that the National Guard were stormtroopers and fascists. How'd we get here? Oh, maybe it was from lying politicians like Liz Warren. Remember Liz Warren? The one who went after Buttigieg because he dare raise funny in Napa in wine caves with hedge fund people? Who goes on Twitter to say, casino-like swings in stock prices of GameStop reflect the wild levels of speculation that don't help GameStop workers or customers and could lead to the market's instability. Today, I told the SEC to explain what exactly it's doing to prevent market manipulation. Oh, that's rich coming from the woman of the people, Pocahontas herself, Little Miss Progressive, who just said, Wall Street sucks and I won't take any of your money. Yet she does. And then she sides right with them instead of the people. Can you pull that back up a minute? Because I can't remember one thing she said and I want to talk about it. Oh, and she tried to make this all about GameStop's workers or customers. Evidently, she doesn't realize the reason why GameStop stock was so much in the tank was because no one was going to GameStop anymore. Because you can game online. You don't need to go to the mall or anywhere else to go get your games. So it really wasn't hurting GameStop or the customers. Way to try to make it about the people when it really wasn't about the people at all. You're about big government. And yet she is the progressives' poster child. I need y'all to start waking up. When I tell you that politicians lie, I'm not saying it just to say it. I'm saying it because it's true. Oh, and then there's my favorite gem, my favorite girl, AOC. She originally says, this is unacceptable. We need to know more about Robinhood's app decision to block retail investors from purchasing stocks while hedge funds profit, blah, blah, blah. She was right. Ted Cruz agrees with her, goes, fully agree. Quote tweet from freaking savage Ted Cruz. I don't know how they get AOC and we get Ted Cruz. It blows my mind. But then she comes at him with, you tried to have me killed 3 weeks ago. That is not true. Ted Cruz did not get a gun or an insurrectionist. Ted Cruz wasn't even in the same room as her. Ted Cruz did not tell crazy vote fraud people to raid the Capitol and look for AOC and try to assassinate her. That never happened. There was a riot on the Capitol because people were lied to that Mike Pence was going to do some magic and give Trump the election, and people acted a fool. You know it. I know it. The world knows it. We also know Ted Cruz did not try to kill that woman at all. Yet she can say it on Twitter and Twitter doesn't care. Where's all those bird watchers? You know, because now people on Twitter can fact check tweets. Where were they? Why does Twitter let AOC use hyperbole? But it was wrong for Trump. Why does Twitter say AOC can be on there, but the MyPillow guy is a real threat to society? The MyPillow guy is just MyPillow guy. Who cares? Why silence him? Why? Literally no point in that. Literally no point in that at all. Not one bit. Oh, I bet you're wondering, by the way, what's the White House's response to GameStop and Robinhood? Don't you think they should be really interested? I mean, Janet Yellen, she's our new Treasury Secretary, and she's taken over $800,000 from the exact hedge fund that tried to shut this down. God, I wonder what she has to say. In fact, a reporter asked that bastion of truth, Jen Psaki, that question this week. Take a listen.
Is the White House concerned about the stock market activity we're seeing around GameStop and now with some other stocks as well, including the a subsidiary or whatever, the company that was Blockbuster. And have there been any conversations with the SEC about how to proceed?
Well, I'm also happy to repeat that we have the first female Treasury Secretary and a team that's surrounding her, and often questions about market we'll send to them. But our team is, of course, our economic team, including Secretary Yellen and others, are monitoring the situation. It's a good reminder, though, that the stock market isn't the only measure of the health of our economy. It doesn't reflect how working and middle-class families are doing.
Well, we can't really ask that question because I need to remind you that Janet Yellen is a woman. And she's the first woman to be the Treasury Secretary. So, I mean, I don't understand why you're asking this question. But, you know, it is a good reminder that the stock market doesn't really resemble average people and average people who need to make money. No, this story totally resembles average freaking people. That's like 100% what it's about. Let me introduce you to one of these average folks who did this.
I'd be lying to say if there wasn't some pleasure out of the fact, you know, I'm a pastor and Jesus tells a story about this rich fool who has an overabundant harvest that's more than he can store. And rather than give the excess to those in need, he chooses to build bigger and bigger barns to store it for himself. And rather than share the billions with the less fortunate, they've built bigger and bigger barns for themselves. And so, yeah, I was 100%. There was a part of me that thought, well, it will be fun to be a part of this moment, to see this moment where at some level overnight, these investors are losing their investing lives. It's being demanded from them. And they're left wondering what they get, who's going to get what they had prepared for themselves.
Oh, interesting. So right there, we see that one of those Reddit guys was just an average Joe, an average pastor who thought it was about time that it wasn't just the rich and the elites who keep getting richer, but that average Joes should have a chance too. You're right. You're absolutely right. You're right, Jen Psaki. No, that was sarcasm. She's not right at all. The response to all of this has been abysmal and disgusting and degrading across the board because you got politicians whose panties are in a bunch, an absolute panties in a bunch, because the average man showed Wall Street, hey, we can play this game too. And they're just pissed about it. When are you going to get pissed about it? That's the most important question. When are you going to get pissed about it? Because, see, we have seen throughout 2020 that the elites seem to think everything's for them. Well, the elites are the ones who run for office. The elites are the ones who go get to eat at French Laundry while you stay in your home and lose your livelihood. The elites are the ones who go and get the vaccine. Did you know that we actually have celebrities who are paying doctors to get the vaccine before average Joes? Because by God, they're celebrities. And I don't know what we would do if we lost national treasures like Kris Jenner. I mean, what would we do? What would we do? Why are celebrities that much more important than you? Why is it that elite politicians are that much more important than you? Why is it that elite hedge fund operators are that much more important than you? Why is it that Facebook and Reddit and Twitter and YouTube, why do they get to determine what you get to talk about? How have these freaking idiots gotten so powerful that they can even go tell people like Discord, you need to take that creep off your site? It's the elites who seem to be destroying the American dream. Not that pastor who was a Reddit user who bought some GameStop. When are you going to wake up? Because it's way past time. It's way freaking past time. All right, We got a lot more in the show to talk about. Are you a regular citizen who's just saying, hey, I haven't found what I'm looking for yet when it comes to politics? Because the Republicans are liars and the Democrats are liars and they're all liars and they all cheat and none of them are telling me anything about me. Are you in that group? Because yeah, lots of us are in that freaking group. And my next guest after this commercial break is also in that group. We're going to talk to him about this and so much more. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
How about no?
No.
No way.
Come on, no.
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 No. No.
Only Discover has no annual fee on any card.
Bye.
Drive safe.
What will we do with our son gone off to college?
What you'll do is claim a tuition tax credit for him, which I can help file.
Right here. Come on, look, look, look.
If you're a photographer, these props can be deducted.
Can I write up the Wi-Fi in my son's treehouse?
If that's where you get your freelancing done, then yep.
Thank you!
File with the help of an expert, or let an expert file for you. Intuit TurboTax Live.
When you're up for it, you know where to find us.
My next guest is a hustler too, and it's not Akon. I wish it was Akon. It's not Akon. Love Akon. But my next guest actually knows Akon. What? Because Akon worked on his presidential campaign. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Am I telling you that I'm going to talk to a former presidential candidate? Yes, I am. I'm also going to be talking to a former actor who you probably saw on movies like First Kid with Sinbad and The Mighty Ducks. That's right. That's right, my friends. Brock Pierce is joining me now. He is a former presidential candidate. He is a former actor. He is a Bitcoin genius, and he knows Akon. So, like, I am so honored to talk to this guy. Brock, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Oh, thank you for having me. What a wonderful introduction. And Akon, yes, it was awesome to see that opening. I've been chatting with him about regarding everything that's happening with GameStop right now. I don't know if you saw, but Ja Rule has said, hold the line, Elon Musk, AOC, Don Trump Jr., Ted Cruz, people crossing party lines, standing up for the people. Amazing thing going on. And I want to make sure Akon has a chance to be a part of this.
I'm glad you said that. I didn't know Ja Rule also did this. We talked about Elon Musk, AOC, Ted Cruz. I love everybody coming together, and I hate the people like Elizabeth Warren who are not coming together on this one. And basically, if you weren't on Team the People, I don't want to hear from you right now. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I knew I definitely wanted to talk to you about this GameStop stuff and so much, because you also you know Bitcoin better than anyone. So I have a million things I want to bring up. But first off, where do you see this GameStop Robinhood thing going from here? Is this the end of Robinhood? Are people finally going to wake up and say we should be able to acquire wealth any way we want? Are people finally going to get fed up with Facebook and Reddit and others just doing this stupid censorship because they don't like it? What do you see happening?
Yeah, I mean, we're waking up to the fact that our speech is being censored, and now our markets are clearly being censored. What Robinhood did yesterday of shutting down the ability for the public, for the people, to be able to buy that stock in a free market, which is the world we're supposed to be living in, and the fact that that was not permitted is a huge deal. The people are like, are acting. It's incredible. I mean, clearly Robin is trying to rob the hood, steal from the poor and give to the rich, and has clearly been working for the Sheriff of Nottingham the entire time.
Right. And the hypocrisy of Robin Hood with their let the people trade. And earlier in the show, we showed a commercial that they launched in January where they're saying, remember when greed was good? We made it easy for the common man. Yet they just show that they're lying hypocrites. And far too often, we don't call people out for being lying hypocrites.
Yeah, but it's starting to happen. I mean, this is what we're witnessing right now is, when we look back, is going to be one of the most important moments, I think, in this movement, in this history. This is a kind of a form of like Occupy Wall Street, the 99%, but this is one where it's a small group of people that tactically figured out how to use the same mechanisms, the same methods against them, which is they caught some bad actors that shorted 140% of the stock of a company, meaning they borrowed and sold more than 100% of all the stock that exists. This just defies the laws of physics, and they found it. These are like merchants of death that try to kill companies and kill American jobs. And a group found it and said, hey, if we all buy this stock, we can drive the price up, create a short squeeze, and they have infinite losses. We can actually drive a few of these institutions that feed on killing companies out of business.
Absolutely. This entire story is fascinating. And I hope you're right. I hope we're getting to the point that it's Viva Revolution, that it's like a Bolshevik revolution all over again. And maybe it's been churning for a while. I've been frustrated that all throughout 2020, it seems like people didn't want to say, hey, these lockdowns don't make sense. Hey, there's no science backing that up. We've kind of just taken it. Anarchy's okay when it's this group. It's not okay when it's this other group. Anarchy's never okay. It's very, very interesting. And I wonder if that is part of the reason why you chose to run for president. You ran in 2020, and I love that you ran as an independent. You didn't identify as R or D or G for the Green Party or P for Progressive. You said, no, I'm an independent, because you wanted to give independents a voice. And I wonder if you think that this movement for also more parties is finally going to see some traction.
Yeah, so my run for president last year was not a run where I expected or intended to win in any way whatsoever. It was an exploratory mission to understand the mechanics of the system so that I could make a real viable run in the future. And I'd say my basic training is complete. I'm ready to run anywhere that the people request me to.
There you go. I ran for Congress in 2018, and I always say it was the most eye-opening experience I've ever had. I got to see the man behind the curtain. I got to see what they're doing behind the curtain, and it made me absolutely sick. And even as I am a Republican, I ran as a Republican, I'm still a Republican, I was disgusted to see the way even the party that I had admired for so long functioned, because I don't think people quite understand the dirtiness and the corruption and everything that's really happening, quite honestly, out in the open, but no one reports on it, because even though I've spent, you know, my entire adult life on TV news, the news doesn't cover it either. The news doesn't even know it's happening.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I ran. I'm deeply, deeply concerned by the state of this country, the state of the world right now. And I think we're doomed if we don't do something. And so I chose to devote my life to public service, and we'll see where it goes from here.
I'm curious what your experience has been as an independent third candidate, because I've thought in the past, if I run again, maybe I would do it as a third party candidate, except there's this system that's in place that if you aren't an R or a D, you really don't get the money that you need and the endorsements and everything that for some reason voters think is so darn important in order to propel you over the finish line. We very rarely see an independent win any race for that matter. So do you think through your experience, you found some secret sauce that would make it actually plausible, possible for third parties to win?
I believe I have. But it's necessary. It's combined with the market factors, all the things happening, and everything that you said is accurate. And I'm going to give you one statistic, because I could talk to you for hours about what I've learned, as I'm sure you can as well. This statistic, I think, summarizes it really well. If you want to run for president of the United States of America as a D or an R, you need 25,000 petitions or signatures. As an independent candidate, you need 700,000. And the number keeps getting.
Wow. See, that right there is what makes the system brutally unfair. We've created this two-party system and we act like a republic can't be a multi-party parliamentary system. No, it absolutely can. It just takes us doing it. But we have found a way for the right and the left to be in total control. And this is where I think they truly do work in cahoots with one another because they want the power to themselves. Again, I think it's that elitists versus the regular folks. And I think it's on display in every single thing we experience in life, and it drives me insane. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Bitcoin too, because when I ran in 2018, a lot of Bitcoin folks talked to me. I'm here in Las Vegas, and a lot of people like Derek Stevens and casino owners have thought, yeah, we want to get Bitcoins on slot machines. Bitcoin's the way of the future. Thought about buying it then. My husband was like, no, it's not real. We shouldn't do that. God, if we had, I'd have a lot of money right now. And it is kind of confusing though, blockchain, even though I'm a big believer in blockchain and I think that's how we should be doing voting, I can't honestly tell you why. I just know that it's safe and you can't change your vote. It doesn't make any sense to me. And blockchain is Bitcoin. So can you give me your sales pitch on what Bitcoin is and why we should be in on it?
Well, it's a system with a fixed supply. There will never be more than 21 million Bitcoins. It's not owned or controlled or run by anyone. It's controlled or run effectively by all of us. Think of it as the people's money. It's like a digital gold, but because of that scarcity, the reason why it's performing so well is 26% of all US dollars ever created were created last year. And there's no signs of that slowing. And so people are running to alternative stores of value. And that's what Bitcoin is. Bitcoin would not be performing so well right now if governments were being accountable and fiscally responsible. This is essentially a countermeasure from the people to force accountability. And that's what it's here for. And so think of it like digital gold.
Okay, let me ask you this because I think someone had told me this before, but I forgot it. And that led to another question. So there's only so much Bitcoin that there will ever be. Who made that number? Who made that arbitrary number that it's only whatever you said, 21 million or something? Who made that number?
So that was decided by the creator or creators of Bitcoin. It's an anonymous pseudonym. And so when no one knows who created it. But 21 is an interesting number. It's a spiritual number by background. It's 777 or three sevens. It's the Trinity in the 7 days of creation. It's actually a very important number in spirituality. And then casinos, as you see in Vegas, use it as well.
And today, my producer Spencer and I, we were talking about this. We can't even get on Robinhood to buy some Bitcoin if we wanted to. Some of the Bitcoin apps, we can't even get on. They're kind of crashing. So because of everything that's happened this week, everyone's like, oh, let me get in on this. So how would you even recommend, you know, people like myself who's like, yeah, I've kind of always known I was supposed to do this. I didn't. What should we be doing to get in, particularly right now? It's so difficult.
Well, so if you're here in the United States, I would go to Coinbase or I would go to Kraken or Gemini, for example. These are a few of the applications. There's many more. Be careful where you go. And I am not encouraging you to invest in Bitcoin. But what I would encourage you to do is to go buy $10 worth, $20 worth, $100 worth, something you can afford to lose. What I'm encouraging you to do is to invest in yourself, to invest in your knowing so that you can make informed decisions for yourself going forward. Because that's what we want, is we want free thinkers. We want independent people that make choices and decisions for themselves and don't blindly follow the herd.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do it. And I agree with you 110%. I really appreciate you being on the show, Brock. I hope that you will come on again because I'm fascinated by your story. I'm fascinated by what you're trying to do. Maybe you can even talk Akon to come on with you one day because we'd love to talk to him as well. I think you're fascinating. Tell everyone about your website if they want to learn more about you and follow the things that you are obviously going to be doing here in the near future.
Yeah, you can find me on most of the social media platforms. Unfortunately, that are somewhat censored or largely, depending upon what you're talking about. But you can learn about my policies and my presidential campaign at Brock, B-R-O-C-K, Brock.vote, Brock the Vote.
Yeah, his policies were about really freedom and prosperity. And that alone made me say, I'm a kindred spirit to you. And I was watching some of your videos and he goes, Republicans think I'm a Republican. Democrats think I'm a Democrat. And I looked at you and I said, no, I think you're a person who's about freedom. And that's what I thought you were immediately, because you're about prosperity and you're about freedom. And I think that's freaking amazing. And we need more people exactly like you.
Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to coming back soon.
All right. Thanks so much. You have a fantastic day. And don't you go anywhere, because of course we have all that news that you missed that's going to blow your mind and the freaks of the week. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. There is still so much more to come.
Yes, no problem.
Yes, 1,000 times yes.
Discover, accepted at 99% of places in the U.S.
What exactly are you insinuating? You think that I would do that to you? Did you go behind your back after everything that we've been through? I can't even look at you. Too much?
Just stick to the line I gave you.
Yeah. Okay.
Your whole team can see your upper thigh. Pour that smooth roast and aim that camera up high.
The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
The soul whose intentions are good.
Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
I love the animals and their brooding music and their brooding 1960 music videos. It just kills me. I love it. I love it so much. And it was very appropriate that we played the animals going into the section, because do you know who's got their panties in a bunch this time? It's PETA. Oh, my friends, we have a lot to talk about.
We've got a lot to talk about.
Oh, yes, we've got a lot to talk about. So PETA, which stands for People Eating Tasty Meat, no, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, demanded this week that people stop using speciesism, whatever that means, terms like chicken, pig, or rat as insults for humans. Yeah. Instead of saying someone's a chicken because they're scared to do something, you should say that they're a coward. Instead of saying someone's a rat, say that they're a snitch. Someone's a snake in the grass? No, they're not. They're just a jerk. Someone's a pig. You know, a male chauvinist pig. We should just say they're repulsive. Oh, and don't you dare call someone a sloth. Just say they're lazy. I guess they're going to have an issue with Disney's movie Zootopia then, because Flash the Sloth, who worked at the DMV, was very, very, very slow. And PETA is very, very, very stupid. Did you know that a reality star is going to be running for mayor of New York City? Oh, we're going to talk about it.
You better believe I'm going to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Let me get ready. Let's go. So one of the former Real Housewives of New York City is running. Sadly, it is not the Countess Luann who is also in that picture. No, this other lady who you don't even really know from this show because she was so boring. Her name is Barbara Cavavoit. And she's officially announced she's running in a crowded field of Democrats. So now let me just let you know, Democrats of New York City, you have dumb as dirt de Blasio right now. And in the future, you could vote for a Real Housewife or Andrew Yang. Oh, the choices. You can vote for a guy who says math and thinks everybody should have an income from the government. Or you can vote for someone who probably is going to have Bethany Frankel give everyone skinny girl margaritas at her campaign stops. And the Countess Luann can do burlesque now that she's out of jail. Oh, maybe Ramona Singer can be there. Maybe. To model? Vote for Barbara T-shirts? What is wrong with freaking people? You know, I'm glad that anybody and their brother can run. And I don't hate reality stars. Well, that's a lie. I do. Do you know what reality stars I really kind of hate? The Kardashians. And you know what? My hate is going to have to subside here soon because the Kardashians will no longer be on air. I think I forgot to tell you to run that one, Spence, but we do have a Kardashian video in there. Do you see it? All right, let's run how the Kardashians are so sad that their 14-year show is coming to an end.
Filming has been one of the best experiences of my life.
We didn't think anyone would be into watching a show about our crazy family.
We just wanted to tell you in person that we won't be going forward with filming the show anymore.
Just stop your crying, it'll be alright.
I just feel like it's now time to have another kid.
I saw Courtney and Scott asleep together on the couch.
They're definitely made for each other, like they're supposed to be together.
I am just really blessed that we had this opportunity to even do this. We have a lot of memories.
I just want you to know that we really appreciate you guys, each and every one of you.
Did we make the right decision by walking away?
Welcome to the final show.
I mean, it's so sad that the family that became famous for making sex tapes and representing OJ isn't going to be on TV anymore. I mean, what am I going to do? I'm gonna pass out. I can't handle it.
This is getting sad.
Yes, it's getting sad. What the heck is wrong with everybody? Oh my God. Why is this important at all? You know what was really sad? That Kris Kardashian kind of thought that she could get away with that houndstooth 1980s suit in the year 2020. You knew I was going to talk about it. You want to know why?
I'm just an asshole with iconic hair and big lips.
I really am. Can we just be honest about it? I really kind of am. I am like Lisa Rinna in every possible way. All right. A lot of you probably don't like Lady Gaga. I do. I don't agree with her politics. I think she's one heck of a singer. And I'll probably buy her Oreos. I said Oreos because, yes, there are Lady Gaga Oreos. And can I give you some breaking news? Because you only got about 2 hours to get in on this, all right? But social media promotions are going on right now. And there is a social media promotion for these Lady Gaga Oreos. That's right. That's right. It's called the Virtual Chromatic Cookie Hunt. It's a social media-based scavenger hunt that leads participants to a special autograph pack of Lady Gaga Oreos. Here's the catch. The promotion ends at 3 p.m. Eastern today. Oh, darn it. It's already over. Ah, shucks. Too bad. If I find them, I'll still probably buy them for my kids. They're pink and green, and my kids would like that. Our last bit of food, nauseating news today, is Kraft mac and cheese. Yes, if you watch my What You Need to Know newscast every single Monday through Thursday at 6:30, no one denies that shameless plugs are necessary. You already know that I talked about this, but I think it's uber gross that Kraft mac and cheese said, you know what? Mac and cheese with its powdered fake orange cheese sauce that you have to add milk and butter to kind of make creamy should come out with a candy Valentine's Day version because nothing says Valentine's Day like pink candy flavored mac and cheese. There's no better way to my heart, trust me. Oh, there's a million better ways to my heart. Pink, nasty mac and cheese ain't one of them, sister. ain't one of them at all. But again, it's a contest. Like, you can't just go to Albertsons and pick that up. No. You've got to enter to win. Do you know why? Because everybody wants your email. It's the truth. They're just not telling you that. But I tell the truth, so there it is. Also, truthfully speaking, I want to let you know that February 1st, Monday, our next show, we're going to be talking a lot about climate change and the start of the session here in the great state of Nevada. That's right. Your legislators, those buffoons you voted for who probably aren't going to do a darn thing, they're going to go to work for you, my friend. And we're going to be the one show that is going to hold them accountable the whole dang time. So buckle up, Buttercup. It's going to get to be a wild, wild ride. As always, I thank you for tuning in every Monday through Friday right here on social media or on Grab It TV for the Michelle Mortensen Show. And be sure to tune in every Monday through Thursday for what you need to know right now. The news you need the way you want it. It's usually around 5 to 8 minutes long. It's fast. It's furious. There's no crap, but there is a lot of humor. And it's a way to get everything you need without having to watch the dumb mainstream media that, yes, I used to work for. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I will see you back here on Monday at noon. Thanks, Spencer. This show wouldn't happen without him. Talk to you later.